Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We got a lot to get into in today's show. So you guys might remember, probably about 2-3 weeks ago, we talked about a new sports bar that was popping up in town. The sports bar is called The Dub. It prioritizes women's sports. So we're going to have one of the co-owners of the bar join us coming up in about 45 minutes. Very happy to catch up with Monica Brady to get her thoughts on her restaurant that has been open for about a month now. We're also going to be joined by our guy Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated. We'll get his thoughts on the first half of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs and look ahead to their matchup against the Denver Broncos. We'll also talk about a little bit of Monday Night Football yesterday. As can anybody explain to me what Nick Sirianni was trying to do? I feel like we asked that question a couple of times a year, but yesterday was absolutely egregious. We'll talk about that in today's show. We got a lot to get into. I found a couple very interesting news stories that I feel like these news stories were specifically created for this show. We'll talk about that as well. Rob is a KU season ticket holder, but had not been to a KU basketball game yet this year. Rob, all the talk you have done talking to me about Darren Peterson and how he's the next Kobe Bryant and how this is the greatest guard prospect in the history of basketball, why do you keep selling your tickets to the games? Don't you want to say you saw him back when? It's not like you get 40 chances to see Darren Peterson in person. You get 15, 16 opportunities. Why do you keep selling your KU tickets, Rob Brenton?
I am doing something that I affectionately refer to as filling up the account for the Mizzou game. If I sell the Green Bay game and I sell Texas A&M at Corpus Christi, now I've padded the wallet enough so I can get a nice ticket to watch him play Mizzou on December 7th at T-Mobile Center. That's how I'm playing it. So Corpus Christi doesn't get me there, but I'll be at T-Mobile Center. And I will be out there Saturday to watch them play Princeton. I will be back out there.
So let me understand this. You were trading your tickets for a guaranteed KU win.
For another guaranteed KU win.
For a guaranteed KU, right. KU loss. Okay, that makes sense. All that checks out to me. If that made sense to you guys, then it makes sense to me.
You know what I'm looking forward to that game? I can live bet Darren Peterson's over in that game. Will be after December 1st.
Hey, that's going to be a good time. That's one thing we agree on. That's going to be a great thing. So we got a lot to get into in today's show. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here taking you up until 6 o'clock. Let's talk some Chiefs. But before we do that, I got to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. And number three, and most important, I need you guys to remember that the open of the show each day is brought to you by our friends over at the other place. Stop in, grab yourself something to drink, get yourself some great food, maybe watch a little Kansas basketball tonight, but be sure to go stop by and see our friends over at the other place. So as I was starting to get ready for the second half of the Chiefs season, I noticed something. There is a very unique amount of symmetry with the Chiefs schedule. So I was going back and I was listening to segments and listening to cuts and listening to interviews that we've done over the last couple of weeks. And there was something that Mitch Holtis said the last time that we talked to him about the Chiefs. So if the playoffs started today, the Chiefs would not make the playoffs. But Mitch Holtis hates that conversation.
the dumbest thing people do is to put up a full screen, whether it's on social media or traditional media, and go, if the playoffs ended today, this is the way it looks. It's stupid. That's dumb. It has no effect. Like, these next 8 weeks are going to be full of drama. And the Chiefs have work to do, but everybody understands that. But we've seen them respond in the past to be really good in the second half of seasons, even against elite competition. So I think I'm more excited about these next 8 games, and starting with the Denver game, because I think that's going to be a heck of a game. But we've gone back and forth to woe is me and woe is me to, oh, they're the Super Bowl favorites. Now it's woe is me again. Just take it week by week and attack the next one.
So that was friend of the show, Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. And as I was going back and I was listening to this, I noticed something. The Chiefs get a second chance at life. Very rarely do you get a chance to go back and undo everything that you did in a previous life. It's almost like the Chiefs have found the remote control from that movie Click. Let me explain. Think back to week one of the NFL season. Who did the Chiefs play? An important divisional opponent. Well, guess what? Guess who they play in week one of the second half of their season? An important divisional opponent. Guess who they played in the second week? A Super Bowl contending team. Guess who they played next week? A Super Bowl contending team. Guess who they played in week three? They went on the road to play a team in the NFC East. Well, what do you know? They go on the road to play a team in the NFC East in a couple of weeks. They played Baltimore in the fourth game, a playoff team from last year. They go on the road, or they have a home game against a team that made the playoffs last year in the Houston Texans. Their schedule in the second half of the season is almost the exact same storylines as it was in the first portion of the season. Now, we know what kind of start the Chiefs got off to, and they have basically been playing catch-up this entire time because of the slow start that they got off to out of the gates against the Chargers and against the Eagles. But you know what? The Chiefs have the ability to erase all of that. With these two games, they are a 3.5-point favorite right now over the Denver Broncos. We can go over some of the numbers that have been accumulated about this Broncos team, which is a major reason of why I don't believe in this Broncos team. This Colts team, you're going to have them outdoors in the middle of November in Kansas City. Windy, crowd's going to be going loud, and raucous. That is a game that I think the Chiefs are going to be slight favorites in that one. So any damage that you feel that the Chiefs committed in the early portion of the season, I am here to tell you that the genie is going to give you your wish. You are going to have an opportunity to go back and undo all of it. At this point, it does not matter what happened in the first 8 weeks with the Kansas City Chiefs. It does not matter. I don't care anymore. What matters now is you got your left tackle back. We believe you were going to get your RB1 back. We'll see if it's another week for him, but I believe Isaiah Pacheco is going to practice tomorrow, try to give it a go, and try to help you win this game on the road against the Broncos. You have all of your pieces in place. You have all of your options in place. You are coming off a bye week where you have had the opportunity to get right, rest up, and prepare for this game against the Broncos. Very few teams get an opportunity to close the toothpaste tube or put the toothpaste back in there, or you get a chance to unspill the milk. It feels like that's what the Chiefs get the opportunity to do heading into the second portion of their season. They got big conference game, big divisional matchup, Super Bowl contender, NFC East opponent. You got to start taking care of your own business now if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, and everything that you wanted is still right there in front of you. There has not been a single box that has been checked off by the Kansas City Chiefs so far this season. They can still win their division. They can still possibly be the one seed. They got to really do some work to be the one seed, but it's not completely off the table, especially if they win this game. You obviously can still make a deep run in the postseason. You can still find yourself in San Francisco playing for the Super Bowl. But these games that you've had against quality opponents, that you've been on the wrong side of it, you got to figure out a way to put yourself on the right side of it. We're going to spend time today talking about the end of Monday Night Football yesterday, and I still have absolutely no clue what was happening. I'll give you the scenario, but first, I want to play for you guys what Troy Aikman had to say about the Eagles' decision to go for it on fourth down late in that game.
Can't believe they're going for it here on fourth down.
Hurts airs it out. A.J. Brown. It is broken up. And the play made by Valentine. And now, because they went for it, there's 27 seconds left, but there's life for Green Bay. They've got good field position, and they don't need much to get McManus into field goal range.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the thinking was here. You stop the clock, could have ran it down, and wow.
Rob, can you help me a little bit here in this open? And I need your help. And text line, if you can help me, 913-586-7965. I don't understand in any capacity the logic to go for it on fourth and six from the 35-yard line when the opposing team doesn't have a timeout. Now, I'm not saying that I think the Eagles should have kicked a field goal in that scenario, potentially miss, and now you give your opponent great field position. But I'm saying is it was a minute 18 on the clock, and the Eagles ran the football. Of course you do. Saquon Barkley gets 1 yard. Hey, you tried. You did your best. You now call timeout. That is important to note. They let the clock run all the way down, and then the Eagles called a timeout. Now, again, important to note, Green Bay does not have a timeout at the end of the game. So in this scenario, I'm having my punter run around a little bit. Let's punt the football. By the time we give the ball back to the Green Bay Packers, it's probably, I don't know, 26, 24 seconds on the clock. And again, they do not have a timeout. But instead, the Eagles try a deep pass to A.J. Brown. That pass falls incomplete, and now Green Bay gets the ball first and 10 from the 36-yard line. This is silly. I don't know if this is analytics or downright stupidity, but the end of Monday Night Football was one of the more ridiculous endings that I can remember, whether it was the decision by the Philadelphia Eagles to go for it on fourth down, an absolutely atrocious field goal at the end of the game by the Green Bay Packers. I mean, that game was fitting of that ending. For a game that came in with all the hype and all the hoopla between the two best teams in the NFC, two legitimate Super Bowl contending teams, I mean, that game was an absolute dud. That was one of the worst football games I've seen since that Patriots-Rams Super Bowl a few years back. An absolutely dreadful experience that I wouldn't wish on anybody. Coming up on the other side, we'll play for you guys how Philadelphia feels about the end of Monday Night Football. Let me tell you, they are not happy about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm sorry for us to take a detour so early on in the show, but this feels like an important detour, and I promise you we won't spend a lot of time on it. I would say I still consider myself to be somewhat hip. I think I'm up on a lot of the current slang and lingo and what's popular. You know, I would say that I'm still pretty knowledgeable in pop culture. I don't consider myself young by any means, and I don't really want to be, but for the most part, I think I know what's going on. Like, I can't name a Tate McRae song, but I know who Tate McRae is, for example. I have absolutely no clue what this 6-7 thing means. None. I don't know where it started. I don't know why it's so popular. I don't know what it means. Where did it come from? I just feel like one day the young kids started saying 6'7", and it started becoming such a thing, and we don't really have much of a understanding of how it got to be so popular. Rob, do you have an understanding of where this came from? Because most slang terms, I kind of understand. Like when the kids are saying something, I'm like, oh, okay, I remember. I've heard this. I don't know when this became such a big deal. What is it? What does it mean?
I have truly never felt older than when trying to understand the 6'7" thing. I don't get it. I mean, I would say that in the learning curve, the bell curve, whatever, of what's hip and popular, I'm usually behind you. So if you don't get it, there's no chance I get it. None. But I can usually, like, you know, deduce, figure things out. Like, you know, when people are like, oh, he's crashing out. Is that a term I use? No. But do I understand what it means?
For sure.
Yes. 6'7" just feels like something they say for no rhyme or reason. It gets said. And now, I don't know if you've seen the clips, around college basketball, if your team gets to 67 points, the student section of these games are going nuts because 6'7". It's goofy to me, and I don't get it, and I am old man who yells at cloud.
Yeah, for sure. It's text line 913-586-7965. If you guys understand what 6'7" means, tell me. I'd love to know. I don't know. I don't know where it originated from. I don't know what it means. I don't know how to use it in a sentence. I don't know anything about it. So if you could tell me, I would really understand to be more informed when it comes to this subject. So this is what we were talking about before I got sidetracked with this 6'7" nonsense. We were talking about the decision to go for it at the end of the Packers and Eagles game. So if you had turned it off by that point, trust me, I completely understand. So it was a minute 18 on the clock in the fourth quarter. The Eagles ran the football. They got 1 yard. It is now 4th and 6. It is important to note that Green Bay doesn't have a timeout. Now, even the ESPN analytics told you to punt the ball, and they never tell you to punt. ESPN analytics tell you to go for it in almost every single scenario. 4th and 17, you can do it. Go ahead and go for it. Even their model said that the best thing is to punt in that situation. The Eagles didn't punt. They didn't get it. Now, they ended up winning the game, so maybe it wasn't that big of a deal, but it certainly made the final 30 seconds of the game far more uncomfortable than it needed to be. Troy Aikman didn't agree with the decision. In fact, I don't know anybody that agreed with the decision to go for it at the end of the game. Here is WIP in Philadelphia. This is probably one of the 5 most popular sports talk stations in the country. They also didn't understand.
What the hell was Nick Sirianni doing at the end of that football game? What the hell was that? All right, let's unpack it. 4th down, 27 seconds to go. The ball on the Packers 35. Okay, the Packers have no timeouts to go. It is a field goal game. The only chance the Packers have, and we watched their offense the whole night struggle to move the football.
They were sputtering. Yeah.
The only chance they have is to get the ball in field goal range at a manageable field goal. And Nick Sirianni and the Eagles offense decide to throw a bomb on 4th down and give the ball back to the Packers on the 35-yard line. It was a ridiculous decision. Not even defensible. It was a ridiculous decision. It gave the Packers life. And if McManus didn't have a bad quad, he shouldn't even be playing. He's hurt. The Packers kicker. They might have gone to overtime for no reason. That is a clear punt. It is a clear punt, and even if the ball goes in the end zone, and I know that's a weird part of the field where a touchback is probably likely, I mean, you could take the delay a game, give the Brayden Mann a little more space, but whatever. Even if it goes in the end zone, you are taking 15 yards and making them have to go 15 extra yards with no timeouts. Hugh, it was one of the most ridiculous end-game decisions I have ever seen a coach make. There was no reason for it.
I mean, it's hard to argue. I mean, it's hard to be on the other side of the argument of why the Eagles would decide to go for it at the end of the game. I'm still confused. It makes no sense. This 6'7" thing might actually make more sense than this. So I looked it up, Rob. I was curious. I just typed it in, and this might be a low point in my life. What does 6'7" mean? Can I tell you what Google says that it means? Because you know they have like the little thing at the top that when you type something in, it'll give you like a quick little blurb. This is what the internet has for 6'7". The slang term 6'7" is a viral, largely nonsensical meme that originated on social media and became popular among Gen Alpha and younger Gen Z. It has no single fixed meaning, which is part of the point as an example of brain rot slang. They got it. Sometimes you just gotta let the young kids have it, you know? Like when you say, oh, that's tight, I understand what that means. I even understood when the kids were saying on fleek. Remember when that was a thing? I even understood what that meant. You're telling me that they have a slang term that doesn't mean anything. It's just a slang term. It doesn't mean good. It doesn't mean bad. It doesn't mean cute. Doesn't mean ugly. Doesn't mean cool or uncool. It's just a slang term. That's a slang term. They got it. I don't want to be a part of this group. What is this? Gen Alpha, younger Gen Z? I don't want to be a part of them. I want them to stay as far away from me as possible.
Text line. Now, I'm not saying the text line is always correct, but the text line says it's basically the same as when our generation or older generation said yada, yada, yada. They needed a new yada, yada, yada. That's the whole point. 6'7" is just
Come on. Have you seen on the text line? The text line has said that five different people have come up with this.
Some people are saying
it came from a Kansas basketball recruit. Some people are saying it came from LaMelo Ball. Some people are saying it came from a rap song by Skrilla, who I've never heard of before. I've heard of Skrillex. I've heard of a song called Skrilla by Kodak Black. I've never heard of the rapper Skrilla. I don't know. Why don't we just leave them alone? Why don't we leave them alone? They got it. That Tide Pod generation, this is their doing. This is their handiwork. This is not our handiwork. This is not the old, this is not boomer handiwork. This is the youngin's handiwork. I got to give it to him.
I'm all for talking about Tay Kinney, by the way, number one point guard in the 2027 class. If he actually created this, I would change my opinion of that KU recruit. This thing is nonsensical.
It's another KU recruit that they're attributing. That's what I'm seeing. We have no clue where it came from. It just appeared one day. Like, we fell asleep one day, and then we woke up, and it was just 6'7 was here, but we don't know who the first one to say it is. Like, I know who the first one to come up with the dance to dab. Like, normally, we know where these things originate from. We have no clue where 6'7 originate from, or what it means, or how did it catch on? Like, how did it become so popular? How did it spread? Have you ever heard this song before?
No.
Because this song has to be pretty popular in order for, I would say, the most popular slang term from the kids to be using it. The song has to be super popular. I never heard this song before.
There's absolutely no chance. Really? You think that of the two of us, there's a chance that I've heard a song by, and I'm just quoting the text line here, Skrilla called Doot Doot. You think of the two of us, I'm the one that would have heard that song.
Yeah, because I wouldn't be surprised if you were sitting there watching Kansas State at the college football game if this popular song came on. Or I wouldn't be surprised at the tailgate when you and your friends are having a couple of drinks as you guys are about to walk in and see K-State put hands and feet on you for the 18th consecutive time. I wouldn't be surprised if this song was playing in the parking lot. That's why I assumed you heard it. Because I assume you heard it out when you're around the college kids. You're around college kids more than me.
Yeah, but they're doing college kid stuff. That doesn't mean I understand it. I'm sure if you went and found a 35-year-old from 10, 15 years ago, and you said, hey, explain the Harlem Shake, just because they're around it doesn't mean they understand it. And by the way, I was in college during the Harlem Shake, and I still don't really get it. I just know it was a thing.
Okay, that's fair. When I said you were around college kids more than me, I didn't mean it in like a Drake way. I was a little out of pocket. I apologize for saying that to you. I was wrong. I didn't mean it in that capacity. But then when I heard myself say it out loud, like I felt bad. So I'm sorry for saying that. Life's about admitting when you made a mistake. And I made a mistake. So I want to apologize to you for that. All right. Let me talk about this. So earlier today, I created a poll just because I was curious on how you guys were feeling. And the question was, fill in the blank. Blank needs to step up for the Chiefs in the second half of the season. Now let's play a real quick game here. 913-586-7965. Who do you guys think was the most popular name that was thrown out there? Now, everyone was very popular, which seems like of course. After everyone, Rob, who do you think was the number one answer if we were playing Family Feud style of fill in the blank needs to step up for the Chiefs in the second half of the season? Take your guess.
I will tell you the answer I gave, and I'm assuming it's the most popular. Chris Jones.
and it wasn't close between Chris Jones and everybody else. It wasn't close between everybody else. This was the conclusion that I came to. There is tremendous pressure on the defensive line to turn things around. I think the feeling is, and you guys can tell me if you think I'm off, I think the feeling is the Chiefs have everything offensively they need. When they get Josh Simmons back, they've got a good enough offensive line. They can figure out the running game situation. They got more than enough at wide receiver. Kelce's still playing at a relatively high level. The feeling is that the Chiefs have just about everything they need. But their problem is the defensive line. I think that's how fans feel, that their defensive line is the problem. Well, when you're the future Hall of Famer and you're the one who's getting paid the most, that responsibility falls on you. We've talked about this when it comes to Chris Jones. He has 2 sacks so far this season. And one of the worst things that you can do as a professional athlete is not live up to a contract, especially when you did so much whining and crying to make sure that you got your money. It's not like we believe that Chris Jones handled his contract negotiations in a way that was very favorable. He didn't show up to work, even though he was under contract. He then sat in the stands during the middle of a Chiefs game. You did all of this to try to get this money. The organization eventually agreed with you and then gave you the money that you were asking for. Well, if they're going to give you this $120 million and 75 of it guaranteed, the expectation is going to be for you to go out on the field and earn it. And I believe if you ask most fans, do you believe that Chris Jones is earning his contract extension? I think the prevailing wisdom is going to be no. It feels to me like Chiefs fans have put Chris Jones on a little bit of notice. You got to play better. We expect more from you. Chiefs fans feel like they're getting that from their quarterback. They feel like they're getting that from their tight end right now. They're getting that from Trent McDuffie. The stars of this team, for the most part, I think the average fan feels like they are living up to their side of the deal. They are living up to the expectations. The one right now that doesn't feel like that and seems to be getting a large majority of the criticism, it seems to be 9-5 on the defensive side of the ball.
I agree with everything you're saying. I think part of this story, too, or at least in addition to this story, is on one of the Chiefs' losses this year. Not every Chiefs' loss, but on one of the Chiefs' losses, what was the one thing that everyone talked about the ensuing day? Because after the Jags game, it was not, hey, the lead is Harrison Butker, special teams air gave Jags life. Nope. The lead was not Jalen Watson gets beat on a fourth down by Brian Thomas Jr. Uh-uh. It wasn't, how did the Chiefs blow that? What was the lead, and what was every fan sentiment after the loss to the Jags? It was Chris Jones quit on a play. So now you have everything you said, not living up to the contract, the way his contract went, put a sour taste in people's mouth. Because of the whole situation, a lot of fans wouldn't have given him the contract. So now it's triple bonus score. Fans don't like the whole contract situation. And now you add on, since being paid, there was a game where it looked like he quit. And then, after it looked like he quit social media and then told the media he's been off social media for a while. Don't worry about the social media thing. I think Chris Jones is starting to put a little sour taste, not a super sour taste, but a little bit of sour taste in fans' mouths. And they're going to point to the lack of pass rush and point to a guy they think quit on a play this season as the biggest culprit. So I think it's all encompassing. If he was playing as well as Mahomes, no one would care. But he's not playing great, and there was a play where we questioned his effort, which when you're making that much money, there is nothing fans hate more than effort questions or effort intensity, whatever, with a player.
Let's play the look-ahead game for just a little bit here. Maybe this is speaking out of turn, but it's a sports talk show, so let's do it. How do you think the Chris Jones story ends in Kansas City? I think we know how the Travis Kelce story ends. Travis Kelce ends up retiring in some part in February. He's there. His mom is there. His brother is there. His wife could be his fiance, or his fiance could be his wife at this time. Everybody is there, and it is a super emotional retirement. I have given everything I can to the game of football. I'm done. I think we also have a pretty good idea of what it looks like for Mahomes at the end. For one of the 10 most important members of the Chiefs, and I'm talking all time, he has been the best defensive player on a dynasty for the last 7-8 years or so.
Do you see Chris Jones having a fairy tale story ending in Kansas City? Because Patrick Mahomes is going to have one, right? He's one of the five best players in the history of the league. Travis Kelce is going to have a fairy tale ending. Do you think that's what we're headed towards with Chris Jones? Do you think we're headed towards a fairy tale ending with him? Because it certainly doesn't feel that way. I don't think we're headed towards that with him.
I think, and we kind of talked about this last week, I think you, and we did a Spec Says about it, and Spec are correct. I think it ends with either by being cut or contract expiring or something. Chris Jones is going to play his final football in the National Football League somewhere else. And I'm trying to think of another player in this run who ended their career that was so valuable to this run elsewhere, because there is no comparison for a guy who finished somewhere else. But I don't want to say it ends ugly, because ugly is a poor term. But I think it is definitely headed for a divorce. Whether the Chiefs divorce Chris Jones or the just naturally comes to an end, I think we one day get a news alert in the offseason. Chris Jones signs with, I don't know, I'll pick the Seahawks. They feel like a random enough team. And everyone's like, yep, he was great in Kansas City, but his last 2 years are bad. Didn't live up to the contract. See you later. I wonder if, to a lesser extent, they will feel the way they feel about Frank Clark, where it was, yeah, you were helpful, but you made a lot of money and we're not living up to that money. Thank you for your contribution. Goodbye. I think that's the closest comparison I can give.
I mean, I'm just looking at it right now and just doing a real quick once-over look. I mean, since signing that contract, Chris Jones has played 24 regular season games for the Chiefs. 24. That's a decent sample size, right? Like a decent sample size. In those 24 games, Chris Jones has 7 sacks. He has 50 tackles during those games. 50 tackles. You remember, it wasn't that long ago that when you and I would have conversations about Chris Jones and NFL media had conversations about Chris Jones, the overwhelming sentiment was that he was the best defensive tackle in the National Football League. That you remember. Not that long ago, it was Aaron Donald was number one. Chris Jones was clearly number two. And then when Aaron Donald retired, hey, it's Chris Jones is on the throne. Do people feel that way about Chris Jones right now? Because I would say the conversation around Chris Jones is not the conversation of you are clearly one of the best defensive players in the game. That is not the way we talk about it. That's how we talk about Micah Parsons. That's how we talk about TJ Watt. That's how we talk about Myles Garrett. Like, we could think of plenty. That's how we talk about Patrick Surtain. We talk about those guys. Yes, you are one of the best players at your position. You are an elite, dominant defensive player. That's not the way we talk about Chris Jones right now. And again, I think it would be very understandable at Chris Jones' age when you played a decade in the National Football League that, hey, you know, you're on the second half of your career. You're on the back nine. Like, no one thinks Chris Jones is playing another 10 years in the National Football League. But when you did all that you did to get a new contract, and then the team gave you the new deal, and then you didn't live up to it, the fan expectation, the temperature, all of that is just going to be turned up based on how things have played.
Someone on the text line says it'll end the way Eric Berry's tenure ended in Kansas City. I don't know. I hate that comparison. Now, not about the on the field and the in my spirit and that stuff. I don't think Chris Jones is going to have a dedication to football, health, his body giving up on him situation. I'm precluding that. But I think that analogy is not bad, because if me and you went to Arrowhead on, I guess, the week from Sunday, we walked around the concourse and we said, Chiefs fans, you know, explain Eric Berry's time in Kansas City. Most people would wax poetically about him on the field, but would then feel, would make sure to reference the end was not great. I think that is not a bad breakdown of Chris Jones. Chris Jones one day in 3 to 5 years will be walking on the Arrowhead concourse and people say, man, I loved Chris Jones. He's a really big part of all those championships, but the end wasn't great. Kind of how they talk about Eric Berry. It does feel like a messy divorce is coming toward the end of this contract.
And honestly, I mean, I would say, because someone on the text line says, CDOT, stop it. He's helped us win so many Super Bowls. He will have a fairy tale ending. I think we are just underestimating how many players actually get that fairy tale ending at the end of their career. Like, how many of those guys that we say that that's been the case for? Like, great players. Chris Jones is a great player. He's going into Canton. He is one of the best players of his generation, one of the best players of this era. How many players get to wrap up the end of their career super neatly?
It's just a very, very small number of people. So, I mean, if you're looking at Chris Jones' contract, and I know we got a ways to go when talking about it, Chris Jones is under contract for this year, obviously. He is under contract for next year, and we're not that far off from the Chiefs having to make a decision about what they're going to do with Chris Jones. Because just based on how it is looking right now, Chris Jones at 31 years old, ask yourself this question. Do you want to be paying Chris Jones $28.2 million in two seasons? Because, I mean, that's what we're talking about, especially when in two seasons you will be able to cut Chris Jones and save $19 million. So you are reaching the point where, hey, you can. It is financially beneficial for you to get out of this Chris Jones contract. You are not there. I mean, Chris Jones' dead cap right now was $71 million. You're obviously not cutting him right now. His dead cap at the end of this season is $48 million. So it is better financially for him to be on the team next year than not on the team, just based on how his contract is structured. That is not the case in two seasons. And I'm telling you, if 2026 looks a lot like how 2025 is going, I just don't know how you think Chris Jones is on the team in a couple of years. Either he just retires in his early 30s, which, hey, I made great money in the league, I've won Super Bowls, I'm out of here, or Chris Jones is off playing for the Atlanta Falcons. It just feels like that's kind of where this thing is going. It just feels like that's where his career is turning, in my opinion. Coming up on the other side, you and I, a couple of weeks ago, talked about a new sports bar that was in town. It is called The Dub. It is a sports bar that centers around women's sports. We got a chance to talk to one of the owners. We'll play it for you. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Very happy right now to be joined by Monica Brady. She is the co-owner of The Dub. We talked about this bar a couple of weeks ago. They are a sports bar that prioritizes women's sports. Monica, happy to have you join us on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start with this. For people who are hearing about this for the first time, how would you describe your restaurant to them?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are, as you said, a sports bar that prioritizes women's sports. We are a full bar restaurant that looks to really highlight and showcase women athletes in a way they haven't been before, which is really on the TVs in establishments like a sports bar, and really prioritize those games.
What made you want to get into this? You know, I would say that this is a niche thing. This is certainly not your traditional sports bar. What made you want to get into this?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, luckily there are many that have come before us around the country, but really my motivation was exactly, you know, what we're promoting, which is I want to go to a bar. I want to have a decent cocktail or a decent glass of wine or even a beer sometimes. And I want to be able to watch a women's game. And we just weren't having that experience going out around town, and I'm not from here originally, but you know, even in my hometown, that was the experience. It was hard to get a game on that I wanted to watch, it wasn't even known, or it was being put on in a very small TV. And we think that both women and men's sports can coexist together in the same bar, so that's why we're here.
So we talked about this, and a lot of people pointed out that this model has been successful in other markets. Portland was one that I saw that they've done very, very well with this. What have you seen, I guess, with this idea, concept? What have you seen with this in other markets?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in other markets, this has been wildly successful. Seattle, Portland being the OG, Seattle's been wildly successful. I mean, right now there is a women's focused sports bar in 17 states. You know, we're creeping up on about 24 of them around the country. So it's a growing market. It's the fans are very excited about it, and we've seen that so far. We've only been open almost 4 weeks here in Kansas City, and we've seen the energy just exponentially high, you know, and every day we've been open.
Right now we're talking to Monica Brady. She is the co-owner of The Dub. It is a sports bar that prioritizes women's sports. How key have the current played in all of this? It is a very unique situation. The fact that they have a venue that is specifically designed for women's sports, it is the first of its kind around the world. How instrumental, how key have they been in this process?
Yeah, you know, the CPKC and the KC Current were part of the catalyst to why I wanted to open The Dub in the beginning. You know, this process took about a year and a half. And so as we were just starting, CPKC was opening. So it's been a huge impact on us, on our fans, on, you know, what we've centered our mission around. And it was heartbreaking that they lost the playoff game on Sunday, but they had an incredible season, one for the record books, and we just can't wait to continue to support them and the fans when the season starts up again in a few short months in March.
So this was what we talked about on the show is, you know, sports bars, for the most part, they kind of run around football. Hey, let's get some wings. Let's watch the game. You guys prioritize women's sports. I imagine there's some football played here. How do you guys handle that with Thursday night football, Sunday, Monday? How do you guys handle those situations?
Yeah, I mean, we are huge football fans, always have been, college, pro, all the way up, you know, and we want football on our TVs just as much as we want women's sports, because we believe that everything can exist together. You know, we are about championing women athletes and the sports that they play just as much as we are about men's. There's just not a space in town where you can go to knowing that you're going to get women's sports on the television. So we will always promote women's sports first, but we will always support our hometown teams and even our, you know, football as a greater as a greater sport. It's important to us that both can coexist together. We believe that women and men athletes should be on the same playing field. So let's put them both on the TV.
That makes a lot of sense. So you're saying is, let's say on Sunday I want to come in, I can watch Chiefs Broncos and I can also watch a women's college basketball at the same time.
That's exactly right. We will have a Chiefs Broncos game on in every room. We have three rooms right now. Hopefully the weather's nice enough. We'll put it on the patio as well and everyone can enjoy both things together.
Monica, right now, take about 60 seconds. I want you to tell people why they should come to The Dub and tell people where it is.
Yeah, The Dub is in downtown Casey Moe at 9th and Baltimore, just off of Main Street. You can take the streetcar down here and walk 1.5 blocks to get to us. And you should come to The Dub because we are promoting women's sports and we're promoting the sports bar atmosphere in a different way. We're turning it on its head a little bit. You know, you can get a great craft cocktail, a great glass of wine, a great local craft beer, and enjoy your sports with a great crew of staff. And an even better community that's building up around The Dub. You know, we've got a great community of regulars already, and to become part of this movement with us is what we're all about. We want that community to grow, and we look forward to seeing everyone that wants to enjoy our space.
Absolutely, Monica. I'm looking forward to coming down there. I got to find a night where there's like a big-time women's college basketball game, and that's when I plan on coming by. That is Monica Brady.
Absolutely.
That is Monica Brady joining us on the show. She is the co-owner of The Dub. It is a sports bar that prioritizes women's sports. Monica, I want to wish you guys all the success in the world. I'm happy to stop by.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
Of course. That is Monica Brady joining us on the show. We talked about their bar a couple of weeks ago. Wanted to have them on. Wanted to learn a little bit more about it. Wanted to give them a little publicity. I certainly plan on stopping by. Rob, are you committed to going down there with me? I mean, we know at some point there's going to be like UConn against South Carolina for a little women's college basketball action. I'm willing to go down there and watch it and check the place out. Are you coming down there with me? Are you committing to this?
Why don't me and you go down there and watch the KUMU women's game down there at The Dub? Now, I don't know if women's team is any good at Mizzou, but KU has a McDonald's All-American. I'll go watch Jahlia Davis at the dub with you.
I mean, why can't we just actually go to the game? I mean, it's not that far away from the bar. We can just go to the game if you want to go. I'm happy to go watch Grace Slaughter play. You didn't think I knew that. You didn't think I'd catch up with little Mizzou women's basketball. I know all. She went to Green Valley. I know all the – I keep up with the women's hoop action. I want you to know. I want to play this for you. So today I have two stories. I would say that these stories, they were designed for this radio show. This is the first one about a study that was done amongst the average couple.
Average couple doesn't talk to each other more than 15 minutes a week.
Yeah, about things. They don't talk about things other than the logistics
right.
of their lives.
Like, you're picking up Sammy, I'm going to do what's
yeah.
for dinner.
Yeah.
But notice I didn't say Moses. You're not picking up Sammy. But the logistics of running the house or running
yeah.
the life, but the actual 15 minutes of intimate conversation,
yeah.
not about sex, just about us.
Life. Or what are you thinking or what are you feeling or how is your
15 minutes
day?
A week.
Less than. That's it.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe this. Your wife can't tell you a work story in less than 15 minutes. So I refuse to believe this study. Now, I'm not making it seem like I think all couples are just having just long, loving conversations all the time. But I refuse to believe that they're only talking 15 minutes a week. Because when she starts telling you about sharing at work, she can't tell that story in a quick 2-minute fashion. She's going to start telling you about people that you met last year at the Christmas party that you haven't seen and expect you to remember these people. Oh, you remember you met Amanda. Yeah, you got to pretend like you met Amanda. Have no clue who Amanda is. In fact, you spent more time talking to Amanda's husband with his terrible sports takes. You don't remember this woman. Rob, I'm calling BS on this study. What do you think? I don't believe this study. I refuse to believe that this is the case. The average couple talks 15 minutes a week about non-logistical things. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. Now, I will put the caveat here. I am not someone who is in a relationship that has children right now. So that could change with the amount of logistics. But I'm just thinking about the things me and my wife talk about. We talk for more than 15 minutes a week about logistics. It's way more than 15 minutes a week about logistics. Is it, you know, really in-depth, heart-to-heart, super deep conversations? No. Like, I was blessed enough to go see a screener of The Running Man. We talked about Running Man for more than 15 minutes last night. We've checked this box. So maybe that all changes with kids, and kids have changed the calculus a little bit, but I don't believe this number, not even a little bit.
Okay, I just wanted to know. I mean, you're in a loving relationship. You're the average couple 15 minutes a week. I don't believe it. Your wife tells you 30 minutes of work stories a week. She told you an in-depth story about how a woman took her stapler. I don't believe it. I'm just not falling for it. Not at all. Coming up on the other side, I went on the Bills Reddit page just because I was curious. And I want to tell you what they are calling the Bills cycle. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.